Epic victories, heartbreaking defeats. No matter your team, no matter your game, we talk sports on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
When you want to talk about elite NFL beat writers, well, John McClain is on that Mount Rushmore. Houston Chronicle, we're honored to have John McClain for a few minutes to preview Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. It all starts in Houston. John, how are you?
I couldn't be better. Great time of the year.
Isn't it? John, before we get into tomorrow's matchup, Houston and Indy, we noticed your piece on Texans GM Brian Gain. Of course, we're familiar with Gain during his time here for a little bit in Buffalo. And just curious as to how he stepped up in Houston this season and what his future holds with the organization.
Well, you know, before he came to Buffalo last year, he'd been part of four drafts, four free agent periods here. And then he came to the Bills, and then he and Bill O'Brien had hit it off really well during their period together. And when Rick Smith, the general manager, was resigning to take care of his wife, who was battling cancer, they interviewed prospects, but we had a good idea it was going to be Brian. And Brian came in, he had to change the entire personnel department, and he did. He did not have a first or second round pick because of the trades for Deshaun Watson and Brock Osweiler. So he started picking in the third round, and he had a terrific draft. And people are really pumped about the next one because he has one in the first round, two in the second. He's also got a lot of cap room. And so based on Brian's first off season as the head of personnel working closely with Bill O'Brien, head coach, people are pumped because they need to rebuild their offensive line. They need help at corner. And then next year, they ought to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. We're going to preview the Colts and the Texans tomorrow afternoon. Before we get, let's talk about this matchup here. We got a tight matchup. I mean, this is one of only three divisional matchups this season, John, that were both decided by 3 points or fewer. What's it going to come down to tomorrow, given how even that these teams match up against each other?
I picked the Colts to win the game by three because they're playing really well. The Texans, even though they were 11-2 over the last 13, they were 2-2 over the last four. And their offensive line is just so bad. Not only did Deshaun Watson get sacked the league high 62 times, he was knocked down 132 times. Now, a lot of those were his fault, but the line has been so bad, the backs can't run anymore. The only running game they can generate is with Watson. And then their corners, they had given up in the secondary 264 yards when they were 10-2. And over the last four, they've given up 371. So their secondary is not playing well. Their running game isn't working. The pass protection isn't working. Other than that, they're playing great.
I'm curious on the other matchup here, meaning the offensive line in Indy against Houston's defensive line. Andrew Luck, the fourth least pressured quarterback in the league, and you have an Indianapolis offensive line with Quentin Nelson that's improved. But yeah, Houston has a pretty good pass rush. So which movable object would you say will win that matchup on Saturday, John?
They've got three ones and a two in their offensive line, and it gelled about halfway through the season. They're still not very good at run blocking, but they've been great at pass protection. Plus, Andrew Luck, playing with Frank Reich, is getting rid of the ball quicker than any time in his career, and that goes hand in hand, of course. They were sacked the league low 18 times after being sacked the league high 56 times last year. And of those 18, Houston has six of them, three by Watt, two by Clowney. So they have to, if they can't get to Luck, they at least have to try to disrupt his timing. They need to do something about T.Y. Hilton. He had 314 yards this year against the Texans, including 199-yard game in Houston. He's played very well in Houston. He calls it his home away from home. Generated a little controversy. Cornerback Jonathan Joseph said any clown can say anything like that. And if the Texans don't like it, then stop him, contain him. Don't let him run for gains of 60 yards and 42 yards like he's had in the first two games.
John McClain of the Houston Chronicle joining us in the sports bar to talk Texans and Colts tomorrow afternoon. The Colts defense, John, allowing opponents to complete 71% of their passes this season, second highest completion percentage allowed in a single season by a playoff team in the Super Bowl era. So is it safe to assume that Deshaun Watson has a big day throwing the football to Deshaun, to
Nuke? If he has time to throw. He's been sacked 12 times by the Colts in two games. Their defensive tackle, Denico Autry, he's going to have to be the 16th finalist for the Hall of Fame if they don't do a better job against him, because they've been pathetic keeping him away from Watson. I'm sure Watson will throw out on the run a lot. They work on him with taking a quicker drop and a quicker release. But he likes to throw the ball down the field. He's been great not turning it over. No interceptions in his last six games. Andrew Luck threw one in each of his last six. For the year, Watson threw only nine. And a lot of times he'll take a short sack if he doesn't think he can complete a pass. He's got a great receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. He has nothing else. They lost Will Fuller. They lost Demaryius Thomas. And they've got an undrafted free agent from Limestone College, which I've never heard of, Vincent Smith, starting opposite him. So they do not have weapons other than one. And if I'm the Colts, I'm going to put three guys on Hopkins. I'm going to say somebody else is going to beat me besides DeAndre Hopkins.
I want to talk a little bit more about Nuke Hopkins, but before we do that, yeah, Kiki Cutie practicing this week, John, or no?
Kiki Cutie is a rookie slot receiver from Texas Tech who never missed a play, and he's been in and out of the lineup with a hamstring injury so much, it's almost like he's a ghost. Now, he was full participation in practice this week. That means he's going to play. In the game he played against the Colts this year, he had 11 catches, 109 yards in that 37-34 overtime victory, and he did not play in the last game. So if he can play and actually stay on the field, he will help Deshaun Watson. But I'll believe it when I see it, because he's missed so many games.
John, I want to get back to DeAndre Hopkins. In a week where we're hearing a lot of drama coming out of Pittsburgh and their wide receiver position, certainly Antonio Brown is a very, very talented player. Nuke Hopkins very quietly is putting up great numbers, and he's done it with more than his fair share of bad quarterbacks, and off the field doing great things as well, donating his game check to victims of violence. And I'm just kind of curious, you know, you're close to this team, you're close to this player. We see what he is on the field. Talk about what he is, not only on the field, but off the field. Is it, what does he mean to the community?
I'd rather see them throw a pass to him that he didn't catch than completions to the other receivers, because he has such great hands, great catch radius. And Deshaun Watson told us this week it is tempting to throw him the ball on every pass play, but he says Hopkins is really good if he's being doubled to make sure he goes somewhere else. And they've got a great on-field relationship, 115 catches, 1,572 yards, both career highs for Hopkins, 11 touchdowns, first-team All-Pro, and he gets doubled all the time. Primarily working against Jalen Ramsey on Sunday, the Jaguars, he had 12 catches, 147 yards, and almost all of them were against Ramsey. So he's playing great, and then this week he said there's a little girl here was shot by a drive-by. It was a mother in a car on an access road with four daughters, and a guy pulled up next to him, a skinny white guy, long hair, and a red truck. There's a composite drawing out there. And he looked at the mother who was driving. She got a good look at him, and then for some reason, he decides to pull in behind her car and pull out a gun and start shooting. And he killed her seven-year-old daughter. And so people from all over the country have responded, and Hopkins donating his game check tomorrow to help the family. Shaquille O'Neal is going to pay for the funeral, and the reward is more than $100,000 and going up every minute. So you know somebody knows this guy driving this red truck. Red truck, you know, trucks here are a dime a dozen, but you hardly ever see a red one, so I'm pretty sure they're going to catch this comeback pretty fast.
Hey, we can only hope. John McClain from the Houston Chronicle joining us. John, we spoke before the Bills and the Texans played in October. You're welcome for Nate Peterman. following that game, though, Bob McNair passed at age 81. So, gosh, sad story. Bob McNair, what was his legacy in Houston, and where does the franchise go from here?
Well, first of all, his wife, Janice, owns controlling owner. His son Cal has been his right-hand man since the get-go in 2000 when they got the franchise in 99, and Cal's been a part of every decision that Bob McNair made. And so really Bob was battling cancer for a third time, and the last big decisions he made was signing Brian Gain to a five-year contract, extending Bill O'Brien's contract by four, and then saying it's time to give Tyrann Mathieu 1 year, $7 million deal. I've known Bob McNair since the 90s, and I admired him as much as any person I've ever known. Everybody who knew him felt that way. And he gave away more than $500 million. His organization was as diverse as you could find an organization. And those quotes that he was attributed to anonymously, which he denied, always said he was talking about the league office. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that believed the ESPN, the magazine, the anonymous quotes instead of McNair telling what he believed. And I'll tell you guys something real quick. The week before those owners' meetings, I was talking to him about them off the record, and he told me he was infuriated that so many people in the league office were talking about the policy about the league and everything. He said, the owners own the league, and I got a speech plan. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And then afterward, Jerry Jones came out and said he was talking about the league, not about the players. But once the toothpaste out of the tube, you can't go back. And I know he was devastated by charges of racism.
Yeah, it's too bad that might be the lasting impression for many people who didn't know him as well as you did. John, we appreciate you giving us some of your time. Before we let you go, I mean, we'd be crazy if we didn't ask you about your thoughts on this weekend's action. I mean, we've got some great, compelling matchups here, Wild Card Weekend. Aside from the game that you'll be there in Houston, we've got, of course, Dallas right down the road from you guys. We've got the Chargers going into Baltimore, and of course, the Bears hosting the Eagles. How do you think these games play out this weekend?
I picked the Colts, the Cowboys, I picked the Chargers, and I picked the Bears. The Chargers were 7-1 on the road. They just got hammered by the Ravens at home, but there's no home advantage where the Chargers play. Phillip Rivers was terrible. I don't see him being terrible two games in a row. I think there's got to be an advantage playing against Lamar Jackson two times like that. I think they'll have a better plan. Trubisky's been so much better at home than on the road. Of course, the Bears have a great defense. I think the Foles magic is going to disappear, and Eagles won't pick up that $20 million option, and Nick Foles will be unrestricted, and teams that need quarterbacks will line up, starting with Denver and Jacksonville. And then I think the Cowboys, most people are picking Seattle. Dallas has only lost one game over the last seven or eight. Zeke Elliott, I think, will get the ball at least 25 times as a runner receiver. And the best way, and you guys know this, to beat Russell Wilson is keep him on the pitch. Limit those possessions that he gets and don't be in a situation where he's got the ball in his hands when the last 2 minutes and a chance to win the game because he's tremendous. And so I think Dallas is going to win. And Dallas, Chicago, Chargers, and Colts.
John, one more before we let you go, and I'm glad we have you on today as opposed to yesterday, because I would have felt sheepish asking you this question yesterday. In Houston, you have two championships with the Rockets. You have the Houston Astros World Series champs. We don't have any championships here in Western New York, but we do have January 3rd, 1993, 26 years ago.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
All right.
Saw some things on Twitter last night or night before, and I tweeted. I said, Frank Reich played quarterback, Colts coach. I didn't know that. What's this game everybody's talking about? And there were people that thought I was serious that sent me, you idiot, trying to explain to me what happened. As I also tweeted, Frank and Reich are dirty words in Houston. And he's got a chance to stick it to Houston again, and I recommend it if he does. When he comes back next year, the police need to arrest him, trump up some charge, throw him in jail, throw away the key, so he can never torment our city again.
Or at least talk dirty to Houston before he does you wrong like that. He does you guys dirty again, John. I mean, jeez.
So I'm glad he got that job, and I've always admired him. And every time I talk to him since he got the job, actually, going back to the Super Bowl, I did a story with him in that game. So I think I've done three or four things with Frank, and the greatest, as you guys call, comeback in history. We call the biggest choke in history, and his impact on Houston. He made a really bad call in the first game. Went for it on fourth down in his territory rather than take the tie. Watson completed a pass to Hopkins, field goal, last play, overtime. Had he taken a tie, this game tomorrow would be in Indianapolis instead of Houston.
It's funny how
that's
things
kind of... That's the least he could have done for you.
Bob, John, you weren't one of those guys who were in the back of the press box changing your flight or booking flights at halftime of that Bills-Oilers game, were you?
The year before, the Oilers were leading 24-6 over Denver, and I booked my next round, and the PR guy said, if you ever do that again, I will shoot you. And the second half, at halftime, I said, I'm going to make my resume. He said, don't you do it. So when Bubba McDowell returned his interception to make it 35-3, I looked back and he said, it's okay, go ahead. So five of us from the Chronicle made our reservation, I think, to Pittsburgh. I've never done it since.
Wow.
Oh.
Great stuff, John. Unbelievable. So
thankful. Thank you guys very
much. Thankful to have you on with us. Great stories. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. Have a great weekend, John.
Thank you.
Enjoy it. Wow. How great is that?
That guy, I would love to have beers with him.
Oh, God.
Right?
The stories.
Like, not only just from today, but going back. And And there's Frank. Funny how football has storylines like that. There's Frank Reich showing up in Houston again.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. There isn't a, I don't think there's a beat writer covering a team in the NFL with as much of a legacy as John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. That is some awesome stuff. We are honored and privileged to have him on with us. And if you missed it or if you came on late, we'll get that up for you on demand shortly here at ESPNRochester.com. So he said he likes Indy. He likes Dallas. He likes the Chargers. He likes the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have our predictions for Wild Card Weekend coming up as well.
He's picking two road teams. Usually it's you can guarantee that one road team's going to win this week.
Mm-hmm.
Picking two, but I wouldn't go more than two. Home field does mean a lot.
We've got some takes.
Hot takes.
Ooh, it's a place for takes. Takes on tap. We call it I'll Drink to That. Provocative thoughts from around the world of sports. You can agree or disagree. You're always welcome to join us at 454-ESPN, 454-3776. Also on Twitter at ESPN Rochester, where we have our poll ongoing. We want you to rate the job of Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean and your confidence in them moving forward. We were a little surprised to see how high the fan opinions were of both men through a Buffalo Rumblings poll. Wanted to conduct our own poll, a little non-scientific poll, just to kind of take your temperature.
Yeah, we're not the Pew Institute or Quinnipiac or anything like that. We're claiming, yes, it might be, yes, it is unscientific, it might be biased, but we want you to vote in our poll at Twitter, as we'll talk more about the job that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott did. Coming up, and I'll drink to that, Almando Serguero of the Miami Herald reporting the Miami Dolphins have a mystery candidate. And in the last few minutes, that mystery candidate has been revealed.
Mitchell Trubisky dropping some wisdom on everybody. I'll explain. I'll tell you what he said and why he's just moved up a couple more notches before he even takes a snap on Sunday, in my mind. That's on the way next. I'll drink to that in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.